So, this is the last stanza of our walk with Ebenezer Scrooge. And as this day opens, we find that it is Boxing Day. It is December 26th. What year, we know not. But we know that it is December 26th. And our setting is the offices of Scrooge and Marley. A certain miserly old man named Ebenezer Scrooge, having been confronted two nights prior by certain spirits, secretly contrives to change the life of one Bob Cratchit, his employee, whom he had previously taken for granted, indeed, in his own way, had abused him. Scrooge's life having been changed by his own experiences, he now desires to improve the circumstances of Cratchit and his family. Oh, what a day! Oh, I can't wait! This is going to be fun. Here, and what a glorious Boxing Day it is! Has it only been two nights? Just two nights prior? Since Marley and his fellow spirits have come to me and upended everything I thought I had known and held dear. Only two nights! Two nights! Since the world has changed and I, Ebenezer Scrooge, a man of practicality, a man of business, and the most changed thing of all. Only two nights. It hardly seems possible. Yet here I am. Only one day removed from accepting my nephew's offer at last to come and dine with him, share their Christmas meal. One day removed from finally feeling the joy immeasurable that comes when I'm accepted into a home, from a party such as I haven't seen since old Fezziwig, from games I haven't enjoyed so much since my youth. Felt family. What a joy to be reborn into the love of a family I had forgotten, a family I hadn't felt since my beloved sister. Only one day removed from coming back to life again in a way I'd never dreamed possible. Scrooge, bah! Call me Lazarus, for I have been resurrected. I've come back to life. God be praised! Oh, and yet, as overwhelmingly full of joy that experience of that glorious party was, it is easily the lesser of the three joys that I experienced this past Christmas Day. The three joys that filled my heart this past Christmas Day. The gentleman who'd come calling, the one who said, "Are you the Scrooge of Scrooge and Marley?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Please, we're taking up a collection for the poor. How much will you give?" And I said, "Nothing. Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Let the poor go there and work to eat or die and decrease the surplus population." I said those words, to my shame, I remember speaking those very words, coming from this very mouth that can scarce form the words, to these ears that can scarce hear them. It was I, Ebenezer Scrooge, who spoke those shameful words. Yet it was also I, Ebenezer Scrooge, who ran into that same man on the street yesterday during my own Christmas rebirth, and I took him aside and I whispered into his ear, "My friend, I will give you this sum of cash and you can give it to the poor." And he was full of joy, knowing the amount I gave him would ease the suffering of the poor in London for weeks. I know I didn't do it for renown. In fact, I demanded he tell no one. And y'all tell no one too. Because I didn't do it for laud or for glory, but for love and compassion. A newly risen man with a newly awakened realization of my responsibility to my fellow human beings. Nor was it difficult, nor was it painful, nor was it even a sacrifice. It wasn't burdensome at all, and that shouldn't be a surprise. Didn't the carpenter's son, yea, the very one who I now believe sent both Marley and his ghostly entourage to me, didn't that carpenter's son tell us to take on his burden, saying, "I didn't play this song"? We'll get back to that in a moment. That's a long song. Saying, my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. So light that it forms a skip in my step and a joy and a song in my heart. Just the memory of that man's face, watching it light up with the realization of the cash that I gave him and how it was going to change lives. But not in my name. No, in the name of the spirits who showed me my faults and corrected me. In the name of the spirits who guided me into a new way of living. In the name of the spirits who returned me, Ebenezer Scrooge, to life. Nay, I don't say it so, not in the spirits, but in the spirit. For I recall that priest from my youth. I recall a certain letter from one apostle Paul who, like me, was a vain man full of spite and evil until that same spirit brought his, Paul's, heart back from the dead and showed him a new way to live as it did to me just two nights past. Didn't the apostle remind the churches in Rome that even as creation is coming into completeness in the fullness of time, in the same way the Spirit comes to help our weakness? We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks because he pleads for the saints consistent with God's will. Yes, so maybe it wasn't the spirits, plural, who came, but the Spirit. The promise of God given to each of us as Jesus ascended. The Spirit, holy and true, calling us into holiness and truth. I am so not worthy. I am so not worthy. And you know, maybe, just maybe, that is the entire point. Because none of us are worthy. Someone said once, I don't remember who said it, for in the time of my old life, all of these proverbs and platitudes seemed to me just to be excuses and ways of getting out of work and being a valuable member of society. But someone once said, God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. If that is so, and if God could reach into the heart of evil that was Saul of Tarsus holding it in sway, might God not also even possibly be calling me? How then should I respond? What possible answer can I give, unworthy as I am, despicably as I have acted, evil as I have been? Maybe God can use me. I'll concede the omnipotence of God in the face of even depravity like my own. But how can I say yes to God when I know what I've done? How can I look God in the eye, metaphorically speaking, bearing the shame that I bear? How can I be what God invites me to be when I know what I have been? And yet, God promises redemption. God promises salvation. And I've already experienced a kind of resurrection. May there be hope for me after all? And wait, what's that I hear? Is it more indigestion? Are there more bad deviled eggs gone over in my system? Or is it a voice? Maybe the voice of my own Savior telling me I'd missed the most important part of his glorious words these few minutes past, reminding me, no, not reminding me, but inviting me.
Put on my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light.
What a revelation! How different do those words become when they're recalled not just as a statement of unprovable and an intangible platitude, my yoke is easy to bear, when they are recalled not just as a statement, but as an invitation. Put on my yoke. Jesus invites us, invites me, even me, and learn from me. Learn from him. Learn from him. Glory and hallelujah. God Almighty, we have to learn from him. We have to learn from him. We're not expected to be perfected. We're taken in by the grace of God just as we are. We are loved by God just as we are. We are saved by Christ just as we are. And we are imbued with the Holy Spirit by God as God's gracious gift to us just as we are. And all we have to do, is say yes. All we have to do is say yes to God's invitation, accept Christ's invitation into a new life, a renewed life, and let the Spirit lead us onward to sanctification. A new, renewed, holy, and redeemed person. A sister or brother to all of creation. A beloved child of God who loves us always. And all we have to do, is accept Christ's invitation. Say yes. And trust that God will do God's work through us in the world and in us, restoring us, recreating us, redeeming us through the Spirit and through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for coming to us in the form of Jesus, for being born into this world as a tiny little baby full of vulnerability, full of weakness. To show us that our weakness is not a sin and it's not a crime. It's a way of giving us a path to evolve into you. Help us to follow you. Help us to experience your love and share your love. Help us to revere that baby born in Bethlehem, that youth of 12 standing in the temple speaking truth, that man who came to teach us, who died out of love for us, and ultimately rose again to show us the power of your love that can't be conquered by human hate. Fill our hearts with your grace and help us to share your grace with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture readings this morning are from Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, from Matthew 11, 29 and 30, and from Romans 8. Starting with Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne. From Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. And then from Romans chapter 8, always exciting to read the letters of Paul. Chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it, but in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation, we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, it isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and he decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. That way, his Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to his Son, he also called. Those whom he called, he also made righteous. Those whom he made righteous, he also glorified. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of Scripture. Thanks be to God.